Today, we will talk about temptations. And we have to clearly understand that in our faith, we have to face something important, and that is temptations. So as we want to live a Christian faith, the greatest hindrance for us to trust God, to have faith in God, to obey God, and receive joy, many a times that hindrance is temptation. So we have a lot of knowledge and doctrines concerning temptations. But if you only know that, technically it is useless, because you realize how do you do right and how do you restrain yourself from wrong? How do you do what you should do? The struggle and contention is in our life. So we find it tough. So when we want to serve God, or in our Christian life, if we want to grow, we face a lot of tribulation and troubles, or when people do not understand us, or we receive hurt, and then we will face temptations. So temptations are allowed by God, and this is also a test to test people. But at the same time, that is also what the devil wants to use to destroy men. So during temptations, when we face God, so when you, if you face temptations and you struggle and you face this holy God, and you have this great fear and despondency in you, that is something very real. You have fear, you have doubt, and you feel lonely facing the temptations. And so this can happen in our spirit. So we must clearly understand what is Satan and what is the flesh and the world trying to attack us. So before and after we believe in Christ, now, before we believe in Christ, we have to face the temptation to choose God or not. We also face many of our problems and limitations, but after knowing Christ, how do we keep on believing the gospel? We have to deal with the temptations. So the Bible tells us that God permits us and He promises us that we can overcome the temptations. And practically, as we live out the Christian faith, Satan wants to use these temptations to weaken the name of Christ. And so during temptations, we cannot see the grace of God and we feel that God is hidden. But in fact, it is not that God has no grace, but He hides His grace. So we find it very tough. And so that's the difficulty we face during temptations. And we will think during then whether God loves us and whether God still gives us grace. So if I cannot see, how can I move on? So it's very tough. So in this situation, whether it's in church living or serving or daily life, what is difficult for us is temptations. But if you do not truly understand and face these temptations, and if you do not struggle through it, that means perhaps you have not understood many words in the Bible. For example, why in the Genesis or in the New Testament, why is it that God favors His people. Why is it that sometimes God suddenly becomes the enemy of Christians? It's like God becomes our enemy. So sometimes we do not understand that. In the Bible, it tells us how God loves us and cherish us. So we cannot understand God's promises in the Bible. So we cannot understand what's meant by fearing God or loving God. So temptations is something interesting. I read one essay about Martin Luther and what's his take on temptations. And it's very interesting because as he's facing his temptations and sins, we know he struggled the most. And he often saw Satan. And Satan is very real. And so in today's verses, as Martin Luther preached 13 times in 1523 to 1524, he preached 13 times. So today we need to look at the verses. Why did Martin Luther use these verses to show us how do we face the temptations? So Mark chapter 7. So we think about the Canaanite woman. She faced great temptations. But God, how Jesus helped her or trained her to deal with it. So verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. Although he should have gone to many places, but God's will in His sovereignty is that Jesus should remain in the place, in the house. In fact, as soon as she heard about Him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at His feet. So she worshipped Jesus, and that the woman was a Greek born in Syria, Phoenicia, she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. So she felt very miserable. So as a mother, it's very tough for her. And verse 27, first let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. So it sounds very harsh. Our Lord Jesus, our Savior, why did He say such things? But in Matthew chapter 15, verse 23 to 24, Jesus did not answer a word. So His disciples came to Him and urged Him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. So in verse 23, we saw that Jesus didn't speak a word, didn't answer a word. No matter how you beg, He didn't respond. And second thing we observe is His disciples were very frustrated. Now just do what she says. But how did Jesus answer His disciples? So He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So on the spot, in the face of the Canaanite woman, He replied His disciples in this way, and He said that I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So Jesus Christ already said that Israel was the lost sheep, and so Israel was in fallenness. As for this Canaanite woman, isn't she worse off? So Mark chapter 7, verse 28. She replied, yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. So she admit that she may be a dog, but she replied that way. So her point is, Lord, I admit that Israel was a people set apart by God, and I'm like a dog. I'm a poor Gentile. I'm not someone in the house of God. So indeed, this is true. Of course, you must first give, you must first make Israel full. But the woman say, I do not seek for your full grace to come upon me, but I'm only asking for some crumbs on my pitiful daughter. So look at how she prays. So Jesus didn't answer her and even rejected her and said that she's a dog and cannot give her the grace. So actually, God's grace is hidden. That's why I said her temptation is very great. So anyone who hears what Jesus say may just say, you just crushed my ego. Who are you? I don't want to believe you anymore. You don't have the image of God. But you think about it. During temptation, will you encounter such things? In fact, the same thing can happen in our spirit. But amazingly, this woman expressed her faith in this way. So whether it's in Matthew or Mark, both the passages praise her faith. So she's humbled and she admit that she is a dog and she's submissive. She didn't ask for more, but she only asked for crumbs. And then also, she's very earnest. Whether it's three times or what, but she earnestly worshipped Jesus. But why did she do that? Later we'll try to understand more. And Mark chapter 7 verse 29, then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus also said, woman, you have great faith, your request is granted, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. So Mark, in the book of Mark, it was mentioned there is demon who has left the daughter. So we look at Mark chapter 7, verse 30. So she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. So we see that the demon not only possesses people, but at the same time, the demon is also like a temptation. So we must clearly understand and we must be clear that in fact in the Bible, it's not just in this passage, but in other passages in the Bible, it's as if God covers his ears and he refuses to, and he didn't hear the prayers of believers. For example, Abraham. Maybe not Abraham, but Mary. She's always afraid of Jesus disappearing. So she's very, like when Jesus was young and Jesus disappeared in the journey to Jerusalem. And then Jesus was also born in manger. So she may ponder, why do I face such situation? So she may felt rejected by God when she faced such troubles. But in the Bible, we also frequently realize that people always cling on to God, like Jacob. When Jacob wrestled with a man of God, And he says, unless you bless me, I will not let you go. So we also see this in the Bible. So first, we have to understand that as far as temptations are concerned, it is God's sovereignty. Because in temptations, God is also in control. He does not merely permit temptations like as if he has no choice. He didn't just have no choice over the happening of temptations and he can only make all things work for the good. No, God is in control of everything. He can even control Satan. And Satan is actually restrained by God. Otherwise, the work of Satan will surely harm God's people. But over here, Jesus did not reply. So we have to ask, if we didn't hear the word, how can we carry out the word? Because faith comes from hearing the word. If God didn't teach, if God didn't guide, how can I follow Him? So during temptations, we may have such response. But this Canaanite woman, has she not heard the word? But perhaps what she heard is not full, not complete, and maybe she's a new believer. Or she may not be sure whether she truly believed, but she heard about Jesus. But what did she hear? She heard that this is Messiah, and Jesus is the Savior. And so, by this word of God, from the truth, maybe it's not complete truth yet, but there is certain truth, and because of the light of the truth, and she depended on the truth, she can keep on praying and carrying out the word, obeying the word. So what we need to understand from here is, if there is a temptation and very difficult situations, we must not go and seek very strange solutions to stir up our faith. Because even here, this woman, when she wants to worship Christ, it's also because she heard about Jesus before. And the reason why she kept asking, that's because she has faith that God will surely answer her. So Jesus over here, not just speak through words, but this message talk about God's hiddenness. Even God's hiddenness reveals His grace. And we have to understand God's sovereignty. Sometimes He speaks through word. Sometimes He's hidden and He uses His hiddenness to speak to us. And so this sister, she may think that Jesus is hiding Himself and He's using hiddenness to make me want to seek Him even more. So you must understand this logic. So she held on to the promises of God, and that promise is true, and she has seen it and heard it, and so she cling on to it. And on top of that, she's desperate. There's no other way for her. And because her daughter was possessed by demons, you must not think that it is something very light. You must not think that her problem is very light. Because it's like a dead end. So Christ has His hidden grace. And that is in fact to build and to stir up our faith. So as we face this temptation, what is hard is over here. Because we struggle at that time. But yet we also want to experience God's grace. So from this verse, we must understand. This is what God wants to do in our life. So may this be impressed upon our hearts. We must totally understand that God has His hiddenness. God can hide Himself, but if He hides from you, do not think that He's not showing you grace. On the contrary, He wants you to understand where His words are. He wants you to know about prayer. So indeed, this is a test of faith. So, Matthew chapter 15, if we see that the woman kept worshipping the Lord and asking for His help, so she didn't retreat. So we must know that God permits Satan to tempt us, but God doesn't sin. God is in control of everything. And yet, He permits, for example, Satan, flesh, to do certain havoc. And God, in His will, is also allow us to be stirred by our desires. So we must be careful. So in our desires, in our tendency to sin, God is not stopping. If you have this inclination, God also allows there, so we must be careful. So Satan is not just passive, he's very active, like a prowling and roaring lion, and like a serpent. So you must understand the truth and the reality. So you must pray. So you must come before Christ. Because on earth, there is real and big temptations. Of course, some people ask, is God greater or the devil or Satan? Of course, we know God is greater. But in your own struggles, in your heart, you may see the tension between darkness and light, and both of them look very great to you. You don't know which one is bigger. There's a kingdom of light, and God is in control, but there's also a kingdom of darkness. It's as if Satan is in control. But we must remember that God is in control of everything. Sometimes, God seems like a contender to contend with us. Because God wants to deal with the sinful nature within us. God wants to deal with our rebellious nature against Him. So He has to do certain things. So we must understand that our inclination of the sin is very scary. So these verses, why did God transparently share about this incident in the Bible? It is in fact to comfort us and to urge us to continue to trust God. So like Jesus, we must once again understand why is it that Jesus treated this Gentile woman in this way? So what about us? So sometimes we must let God's rebuke come upon us. If you know your flesh always compromise, always weak, always cannot understand God, then in your spirit, you will be willing for God to heavily rebuke you so that you can be awakened, so that you can change, so that you will not be so rebellious and not remain stubborn. So, if a person is sensitive towards sin and know that God wants to save him, he will know that God wants to rebuke him to save him. And that is God's love. And so from another perspective, it is actually meant to help believers. If you are always not attacked or tempted by the devil, your faith will not be so good, frankly speaking. Martin Luther also said that. So let's look at the nature of the devil. He's very cunning. The first thing he did is to overturn God's word, and so we must be very careful. So we have to understand. If a person is already in control, and yet he wants to overthrow God's truth, you don't have to debate with him. If he's already the head of the household, or if he wants to oppose you in that situation, and he wants to oppose the truth, if he still wants to discuss about the truth, but if he's already inclined toward overthrowing the truth and not obeying the truth of God, then no matter how you talk to him, how you argue with him, it's pointless. You may also experience an unnecessary temptation. So we must know that the devil just wants to overthrow God's word. And after that, you realize people will lose faith and we will not be able to believe in God anymore. So God's word is very important because faith comes from hearing the word. So without the word of God, there is no faith and no power. So we must be very careful in this. So Satan is very cunning. First, he removed God's word. But after that, he also attacked the conscience of man. So when humans commit a wrong, Satan magnified that wrong. It's as if humans are useless, so that human is very despaired. And he will feel like as if God's grace cannot help him. But yet he continued to do it. And then he feel like gospel is useless. Because you may think that gospel is helping others, but everybody else got it, but I didn't get it. God helped many people, but God just didn't help me. The devil didn't attack others, and God helped them, but yet God didn't help me. So the devil cunningly used the gospel's grace, and he removed that grace from us. So you feel very lonely, and up to a point, whenever you pray to God, you start to pray, God, why are you so mean? Why are you only doing this to me? So slowly, we become very rebellious toward God. And then from there on, we know that the devil has succeeded. So sometimes our conscience needs to be awakened. We must know the function of the law. Why is it that in Galatians, Romans, when they talk about the law, they mention that we must be very careful with the law. The benefit of the law is to restrain our flesh, to restrain our desires, and that is right. Because without the law, we will be very permissive and indulgent. But amazingly, God will overuse this law and enter into our conscience and take control over there, so that he accuses us in everything and rebukes us in everything. And then by then, it's already not right, because the law by right is good, so that you can be convicted of your sin and can come before God and find the joy of salvation. But now Satan takes control of that, and he deprives you of all the joy, so that you cannot have faith anymore. But you must know that is the devil. That's Satan. It's not about whether the law is good or bad. It's not about whether God's word is good. But you must discern. Do not be a fool. When I say do not be foolish is to awaken us, because sometimes we are really foolish. We do not really know. But after a few times, we already know. And so we should respond. It's not that we shouldn't obey God's word or law, but on the contrary, the law should restrain my flesh. Other than that, there's no other use. Other than that, we should not use the law to accuse others. If I've committed sin, I need to resolve that sin. I need to confess my sin. I've been baptized. I'm in the Gospels. It is God who saves me. You must restore thinking about this. So now let's think about temptation. So just now I talked about Satan and his nature. We must understand that. So now we talk about temptations. Satan can use many ways to attack us or to tempt us, but we must remember, is temptation a sin? So in the Bible, there's two kinds of uses. In some areas, temptations are sin, but in some places, temptations is not a sin because Jesus also was tempted, but he didn't sin. So his temptation is like this. Because, for example, if you have the homosexual thoughts, but it can be a flashing thought, that is not a sin. But if you keep dwelling on that thought and you have that very strong desire and you didn't carry it out, you have really let loose of your heart. You keep having delight in those thoughts and you let loose your desire, then that is called temptation, and the Bible considered that as sin. And the Bible tells us that we should consider ourselves dead to sin. You shouldn't have sin. You should have, because you must not let sin be master over your body. So do not allow this sin to reign in your life. So in the Bible, there's two ways of using temptations. So we must not just think about temptations simply. Temptations can grow. Maybe it started as a sinless thing, but it later becomes sinful. Now, Jesus didn't let sin must be his master. So the Bible tells us that Romans chapter 6 verse 14 tells us that sin shall not be your master because you're not under law but under grace. So what we can learn from this woman here is she said, yes, I am a dog. So those who admit that they are dogs, they understood their sinful nature, their original sin in their flesh. So where Jesus was harsh is actually meant for the sinful nature, so that we can admit and we can seriously deal with sin. So even up to a point, it's as if Jesus wants to remove all traces of hope. So you just think about that. Why? Why did Jesus want to separate or divide the Jews and the Gentiles? Didn't God love everyone and create everyone? Why did Jesus want to have this kind of separation? Actually, it's for the original sin. Because of original sin, God's solution is first to save and to elect a set apart people, and they are called Israel. And because of that, salvation will first come to Israel and the Jews. And this is related to original sin. It's about what's first and what's next. So in terms of application, sometimes we shepherd a person, we want to help a person. We must not just see his difficulties, his misery, and then we quickly comfort him and give in to him and confirm that God loves him. Actually, that may not be so, because you must see whether he understands understands the severity of sin and understands that he needs to obey God and understands that all his problems, in fact, is a result of his broken relationship with God. If he didn't get this right and he confirmed with him about God's love, then he may not even want to come to church instead. He may drift further away from God. Because if you keep confirming with him that it's alright, your weakness is fine, God still loves you, of course he continues to let loose. He is not able to awaken. In fact, by doing that, you stumble him. And why did Jesus say, now is not the time? So Jesus has not yet gone to the cross. Only when Jesus went up to the cross, then the grace of Christ will be spread to the ends of the world. And so now, grace is only confined to the Jews. So now when we do things, and even when we in the church, we must know there is a sequence and order to things. So our church message is first to those who are born again. Because this grace must first be experienced, and then we can respond to God to give Him glory. So non-believers, when they come to such a church, then they can see the difference between Christians and non-Christians, and they will be awakened. So we must know Satan, flesh and world. Let's talk about flesh first. For example, sometimes we face temptations. Sometimes when you do business, you may not have very ethical quotation of the prices. You may charge more. So there's these desires of the flesh that you may indulge. And then in the world, there's a lot of anger, grumbling, comparison, pride. And how can we overcome our weaknesses? The world's method is to blame others, to hate others, in order to overcome the problem. That's how the world is. So whether it's flesh or the world, they will cause us to sin against our neighbor. And third is Satan. Satan, I've already mentioned. He will make us not love God's word. And how does he tempt us? He will say, "Hiya, you don't have to come to church." And he will tempt you in that manner. "I need to work. I need to study. I need to manage the household." But you must not take it for granted, because the moment you didn't come to church to listen to the word, then the strength of the devil will be on you, and then you may not be able to appreciate the word of God that is for you that day. In fact, to hear a message live versus hearing it online is different. The simple reason is, if you receive it on that day, you're receiving it with your full heart. But of course, if you're listening to it live but you're not paying attention, of course that's also not useful. But you must pay attention to God's word. What is God saying to me versus He's telling the whole congregation? So you must ask God to reveal to you. If you have that attitude of, "It's okay, you know, I've been hearing God's word every time." Now, if you think like that, that's a kind of temptation. And with that temptation, if it's a great temptation, you must put on your full armor to resist that temptation. So why is it that God has ordained once a week, whether it's to have worship or to listen to the sermon? This is the method that God has established for us to overcome the temptations of Satan. Of course, there's others. But we must know. There's three, like the flesh, the world, and Satan, but there's also two other kinds of temptation. One is the negative, like your troubles and your problems of life. For example, illness, poverty, shame. And so by then, especially if some people tell you very unpleasant things, or you're mocked by people over your words and behavior. So these are negative things. Then, by then, you will be grumbling, you'll be having hatred. It's very easy for that to happen. But another kind of temptation is prosperity. And that's also a trial. Because when someone gives in to you or someone praises you and praises you about your suggestion, then you feel very high and you exalt yourself and you start to be greedy, be proud. And then we start to feel the world is very good and you feel like you are very free. So you feel that in this free time, I can do a little bit of wrong or commit a little sin. So whether it's in a positive or negative sense, there are these kind of temptations. So Satan is very smart. He always readjusts his tactics of attacking. So frankly speaking, in good times, he also will tempt you. Bad times, he will also tempt you. So these temptations are always happening. So Martin Luther, in many areas, because he is facing a holy God, so he cannot run away from God. So he always had that fear, that real fear. So he kept facing it. He's not someone abnormal, but in fact, he's very normal. We do not really fear God most of the time. Why? Because we are abnormal. We don't often pray because God, although God is alive and true and living, but we easily compromise with temptations, and we can communicate with and commune with Satan and bargain with the devil. But we shouldn't be doing that because Satan does not have a conscience. When you are in your bad times, he attacks you. In your good times, he also attacks you, telling you telling you that you are not worthless. So if our works are indeed good before God, we must come before Him. You must check with God, do I really please you? Not to seek the approval in front of other people, but before God. You want to ask God to accept what you have done. Because we have to understand that temptation, whether it comes from the flesh, the world, or Satan, they are meant to ask people to drift away from God. And when a person does not rely on God, a whole load of sin will come. So our spirit's connection with God's spirit is very important. So we must be sensitive in this area. God's grace indeed restrains Satan. So if we go deeper, you have to understand that when we sin, that's when Satan will attack us more and accuse us more. And so we must quickly come before God to repent and to cleanse ourselves. For if you do not do that, God may give us over to our sin. So if we are sensitive and we sense that we cannot understand God's word and we cannot face certain situation, but think about it. When you didn't do what you should be doing, but what you shouldn't do, you keep doing. So you have sins of commission and sins of omission. Which one will Satan more severely attack us? It's not the sins of omission. That one, Satan tempt you less. Frankly speaking, when you didn't do what you should be doing, that is a greater, it's a greater sin. When you didn't do what you should be doing, that's a greater sin. But Satan attacked us lesser in that area. So sometimes when there's no temptation, do not just think that it's good. But the moment you have temptation, you must understand. It's also God's grace. Otherwise, you will not have any struggle in your life that will prompt you to come before God to seek Him, to help you, to understand His word, so that I can learn in prayers how to resist temptations. So fourth, we must learn to be strong to resist temptations. So first, we must depend on God's word, the Bible. We must hold on to the word of the Bible and rely on the word of the Bible to pray. So sometimes you may not know how to pray. So how do you pray? Prayer is you keep holding on. Holding on to God's promises. And that's where you find the soft spot of God. You read the word of God. This woman, why is it that she's willing to pray till she get it? Because she knows the soft spot of God and that she knew Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior. So she held on to this. This is the entry point. So she want to hold on to that, and that's where God loves me. When God says He will, He will. So you don't give up. So the Bible always mentions believers when they come to their dead end, they knew how to cry out to God. So no matter what reasons you lay out, it's also useless, but you must seek God's grace. And sometimes when, like today, we have the Holy Communion. So those of us who are baptized, we think about our baptism, that we have been baptized. Of course, baptism is a sign outwardly. And so since God has this faithful guidance, how can we forget that God has grace? So every time when we receive the Holy Communion, so this ritual looks like an outward ceremony, but when we receive the Holy Communion, we are willing not to remain in our sin, but we are willing to repent of our sin. Then we receive the bread and the wine, and we become cleansed, and we start over. So, although outward ritual is secondary, but there is the importance to help us, especially when we are weak. So that's why God says you must be baptized. And that's why God ordained this Holy Communion for a reason. He will not just anyhow say that because it's outward. And then if it's just because of that, He wouldn't just say you must keep doing until the return of Christ. There must be a reason, because this is determined by the Word of God. Then next, how do we live with brethren? How do we live with the community of faith? So to overcome temptation, we must understand that when we are young, the boys will like girls, girls will like boys. But by the time you are in your 30s, you start to have the desire to earn more money. But when you're in your 40s, it's not about getting more. When you reach 40s, you'll be assessing your sense of achievement. So at different phases, there's different temptations. So you must know that you must know the temptation that may appear in various circumstances. So even as Christians, we cherish holiness and cleanliness. And perhaps Satan will use that to tempt us. You look, I'm so holy, I'm so clean. Then you become proud in front of people. Then you have another kind of temptation. So the devil always amend his methods to attack us. So we must always be with brethren, then we'll be able to see the differences, the different way of how Satan can attack us. So when we understand that, then we will know. Because of the temptations, we must quickly come before God. Finally, the temptations and its benefits. This is like a conclusion. So eventually, Jesus praised, commended this woman, because by the rule, she partake in the spiritual battle. So her prayers was answered by Jesus. And that was answered under special circumstances. Because at that moment, grace should not have come upon Gentiles, because gospel should have first come to Israel. So at that time, the crumbs indeed came to the Gentiles. And until Jesus went up to the cross, there's no division between Jews and the Gentiles. Because this gospel must be spread to the ends of the world. But just now, in order to emphasize the problem of original sin, so this woman, let's ponder about her case. She's willing to admit that she's a dog, and she's humble to submit to the will of God. So she submit to the will of God, because she know that in the will of God, she knows the will of God is surely good for her. So she's willing. So God is tempting her, but within that, God is testing her. So within that, there must be some benefit for her, and she understands that this thing is meant to help her to build her faith. So she should not remain as lukewarm or cold. She must restore the worship she should have for God. So as she worshiped Jesus, she said, "Help me." So she's being convinced. God will surely, through Jesus Christ and Messiah, give her grace. So So she treated Jesus' rebuke as a kind of answer and as a process of answer. So this really sounds like reverse psychology. Over here, we must understand sometimes the sin and temptation is so tough and difficult. How can we overcome our remaining sin? How do we overcome our residual sin? So we find a lot of methods and we think about this and that, but we just cannot overcome. And we have our own excuses and we cannot get through it. And then you know, we must be refined. But are we willing for that? Are we willing to let God do His will on us? If we are willing, our faith will be stirred before God. And then we will believe and trust Jesus more and more. Now, how Jesus rebuked this woman and worked on her, He will also work on us to help us resist Satan. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we come before You, please help us. As we lead our faith living, sometimes when we serve, as we evangelize, sometimes we also face discouragement. But we haven't seen yet. But sometimes we let loose also. So we know it's very real. When our hearts are troubled, we lack grace and we cannot move on. Lord, please help us in our heart so that we won't treat this sermon lightly. But help us, God, that in our responsibilities, in what we should do, we can be careful so that in all things, we can be mature. So at this time, through this incident, Lord, please build our faith and please help us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.